back in from the that first perimeter we had set up there the first week or so we were out in. There was the only dangerous out there was some pigs and chameleons. I don't think there was anything with a thousand.
You went down.
There was only thing dangerous. There were some pigs and chameleons. But we had, you know, had our.
You were outside of Anke?
Well, we were just around the golf course. We just set up around the golf course. Okay, and we came back in after about a number of days out there. I don't know how long we were out there. And Bethune, who was a very, very experienced guy, he decided that, you know, the thing to do. We've been carrying around this damn ammunition for, you know, several weeks now, and, you know, the hot weather and all this kind of stuff. He said, let's take the platoon out and well to the firing range, which, you know, just a series of 55-gallon drums, and let's fire up this stuff and get new issue. I said, good idea, real good idea. I would have never thought of it. We took the whole platoon out there, fired up every bit of ammunition we had. I mean, I think, what was the round? Everybody was issued, what, four clips, magazines?
For what? M16?
Four, that was standard. You had two pouches. Yeah. One in, okay, maybe a couple hundred. I used to carry about 900 myself. Yeah. I wasn't going to run out of ammunition.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all the guys had the same thing. And, I mean, we were out there for hours firing up this ammunition. So, finally, I take out my 45, which I am a second lieutenant. I got a 45 here. I got to use it. Boom, boom, boom. Seven times I fired at that 55-gallon drum. I never hit it once. Never hit. Bethune looks at me, he says, you know what you should do with that? I said, what's that? He says, throw it at somebody, you might kill him. I took it back, wrapped it, put Cosby on it, wrapped it in that little plastic thing, and threw it in a Foot Locker. That's the last time I saw that thing for a year. I never carried that thing again.
Well, now you, you got wounded by a punji stake after Yad Rang, right?
At Columbus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Yeah. Columbus. Yeah. We're moving out of Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I really don't remember when it was, but he's got a better memory.
You don't remember getting wounded?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember going back to the tents there in Anke. They had all the medevac was back there.
Yeah, well.
And I can remember vividly. I think they called it crystalline penicillin is what they had in the early days over there. I think it was called crystalline penicillin. And then, you know, it got infected like everything does over there. And four times a day, I'd have to get this shot in the ass. And one night, I can remember that nurse coming in, rolling me over on my stomach, pulling down whatever the hell I was wearing, sticking that needle in me. And it's like you got stuck with a poker, hot poker. You get in you, and it just burned. And I laid there and cried like a baby. I says, hon, I said, if my leg rots off, I'm not taking any more penicillin. It's killing me. And I never got another shot, but it cleared up. And it just.
What happened when you with the punji stake itself, you were on patrol?
I don't even remember.
You remember?
Yeah, we were moving. I don't remember what it was. But
off of or into Columbus?
Out of Long Beach.
Out of Columbus.
Out of Columbus.
Okay.
We're going out? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. I think it was like 4 or 5 in the afternoons, I remember.
Yeah. It was sometime. I got the call, you know. 1-6 is
there. Does anybody in here still needs to see the representatives over here? They're going to close out in about 15, 20, 30 minutes. There's nobody else shows up
there. We couldn't get a medevac yet. And we were located little old bitty. I mean.
Why couldn't you get a medevac? One wasn't available?
The LZ was there. There was just too much cover around.
No LZ, okay.
But the medevac guys come out and they flew around and he looked and looked and he says, hey, man, we can't make it. We didn't have any C4. Couldn't blow anything out for him. Of course, the medevacs was the D models, the big Huey. And one of the guys in the gun, one of the gunships, I don't know if it was ARA or whatever.
C models?
Yeah, the little one.
Right.
He heard the conversation. He landed at battalion, got rid of his door gunners and his co-pilot, and he was the only one in there, and he came over and treated that helicopter like a Otis elevator, straight down. Threw Mullen's ass on there, and I remember somebody, and maybe it was Bethune or somebody.
We got rid of him.
You must have got an artery in your leg on that, because I mean it was bloody mess.
Oh, it was terrible. I remember
And they tied him down real quick, D-ring, some kind of thing on him. And this pilot, why young guy, young kid, he put that, I thought that Jesus nut was going to fly right straight off that rotor. He just lifted it straight up. I'd never seen it. And hey, by this time, you thought you'd seen everything, a helicopter, straight up and just kept going, because he had to drop that nose sometime to, to get, and he almost put it in the trees and took it off and took him back. I tried to find out who it was because I wanted to get, I wanted to make sure that guy got a minimum a Distinguished Flying Cross, because that was far above and beyond what they teach at Rucker, you know. Never could find out.
In other words, you're just moving through the weeds. And
did my leg stop moving?
I mean, you fell into a hole.
What I remember is, I stepped forward with my left leg and tried to move my right leg forward, and it wouldn't move. And it went right through here. It was that high off the ground. That scar's that long.
Okay, your right leg up to about
mid-thigh. Right here,
mid-thigh.
And I'm like this. Bitch, what the fuck is wrong here? This thing is sticking in my
head. And you were impaled on the damn thing.
Well, yeah, I couldn't move. I had to back off it and get off the damn thing. And, you know, like Ed is saying, the blood, and that I don't remember the helicopter.
It had to hit an artery down there or something. It was worse than damn and a chest shot, a lung shot, blood loss.
And you got hit later, right?
Right, but that was in Bongsong in February, and in January, I'd been transferred over to Bravo Company, which we've had many discussions about the infamous commander there. But I saw Jim and I had. Boyd went up to S2. Long came in as CO, and I went. Just reshuffling of officers for whatever reason, so I went over to Bravo and met this infamous captain. And we say infamous because he and I just did not get along.
You're talking about the one in Bravo Company?
Bravo.
Right, okay.
And
You didn't get along with me.
I got along with you.
I'm beginning to figure out nobody got along with you, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was a pariah. Yeah.
So Jim and I, to get back to Bongsong, Jim and I had just returned that morning from Hong Kong.
Days late.
And
I'm going to go talk to this dude.
We hardly had time to throw our all of our expensive clothes that we bought and all the stuff, hadn't got rid of our hangovers. Yeah, had that. And we were hoping the last time I saw Jim, if I find the right map, I'll find the mountain. But I've seen a photograph of the exact hill. I got off and he came over to me and he says, "Watch out for that dumb CO that you got with you." And that was the last time that I saw him. And then the next morning, my company went out into, I think they were headed to a LZ Mike, and they were ambushed, and I went north and then came in from the northwest into them, I got shot. So 3.5 years later, 40 operations later, I got shot.
Hey, damn.
So I made all my rank on my ass.
But you took the slug right in your wrist, right up the ulna, didn't it?
What happened on that? Our first sergeant on the troop ship over, our first sergeant was Lopez. Is that right, Lopez?
Lopez Aponte.
Yeah, Lopez Aponte. And so we went to the ship's PX, and I bought Mullen bought a black Zodiac.
Yeah.
I bought a silver Zodiac, and hey, we're just really proud of these great purchases that we've made. And so I'm over showing, we're showing Ponte this, and I say, "Hey, Toph, look at my watch." And he looks and he says, "I tell you, Lieutenant, Charlie will like that watch." He knew.
Ed called him. They were buddies.
I understand.
Yeah, the watch fits into this scenario only because when I did get shot, it was a direct hit on the watch itself.
Jeez.
And it blew an inch and a half out of this bone, one on the outside, and broke the inside one an inch and a half apart.
Damn.
And there's still pieces of spring that work up out through here once in a while. And,
to this day?
Yeah. No, it's still coming out.
Last time I seen it.
That's funny. Did you hear what your dumb shit just said?
No, what did he say?
I was telling him about where I got shot and the watch that I was so proud of that I showed Aponte.
Yeah.
And he says, "Charlie, I'm will like that, Lieutenant. I got shot directly on that watch. And so I was embellishing the story here, and I said, and parts of this watch still come out, so which smart butt here says, yeah, and every time you see him, he goes, cuckoo, cuckoo.
The final embellishment.
Yeah.